Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk.
And now it's time for expert analysis from the best in the game.
This is B-She's Wrestling
with Mike Davidson.
I'm a former producer of wrestling, and I had to tell people, here's what I need in a promo, here's what I need in a match, and here's why you have to do it. You tried to be cute, you tried to be clever, and you came off undervaluing the guy the promoter is paying thousands of dollars to get into the ring with you.
Special guest star, the Mecca, Shane Madison.
Jealousy is something that the Mecca Shane Madison has had to deal with my entire life.
It doesn't matter, because I guarantee that the Mecca will win.
And producer Chris.
He's just a money-making machine, that guy. As somebody who's featured regularly on their program, I don't think he's going to be able to take enough time away from his other adventures. The guy is a mogul.
And now,
B-She's Wrestling. B-She's Wrestling.
If I sound agitated today, it has nothing to do with the wrestling industry. It has to do with my cell phone provider and the fight I needlessly had to have with these people. I'm looking at a B-She's Wrestling t-shirt. It looks beautiful on producer Chris's studio wall. People have been ordering.
I love it. I love mine.
Yes. You're going to start to see them out and about. They're blue. They're beautiful. We'll put a picture on social media.
You did. You put one up.
We're going to put another one up. Oh.
And if you were at the WPW show Friday night, you will have seen me there in my B-She shirt.
Love it. You're going to.
I am.
Yeah, well, you're gone.
Gone.
Yeah. You already went.
So if I sound agitated, please understand it has nothing to do with what has been nothing but positives in the industry. So let's talk about the positives. Mecca Shane Madison.
Yeah, I am jet lagged.
Yeah, he come back from Toronto, of all places.
Busy.
Jeez least.
Busy.
Wheeling and dealing.
Hours. Busy 48 hours.
Going to a Toronto Maple Leaf game.
Matthews woke up in overtime.
Yes. So Mexico 1 week, Toronto the next.
Los Angeles is on deck.
Los Angeles is on deck. Are you going to miss? Is it going to screw up our production schedule?
Sure will.
Oh, gosh.
When?
We'll talk off air.
Should we have done a double tonight?
No, not tonight.
Okay.
We have some time.
We have some time?
I'd have to spike his drink with some ephedrine if we're doing a double.
Oh, man. I also have a trip that I'm going to miss. I'm going to be gone during WrestleMania. But thank God I'm not going to miss one important date. For some reason, we're going to talk about this in the next segment. I think we talked about it in the last segment last week. AEW moved their date to May 1st.
Yep.
That's a good thing for me because I'll be there.
Yes, I wouldn't be here if it was April 10th, so that works for me too.
Yes, good news.
We're all going.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Should we go together? Should we wear our B-She shirts together?
I'm going to wear a blazer over my B-She shirt that night. I have not worn my B-She shirt yet. I should have worn it out on... I went to a great local restaurant on Tuesday night, Silver Heights Restaurant.
And you know what?
Fantastic.
Friend of the show, Scotty Townsend. We need to get him one.
I should have brought it today. Stupid me.
That's okay.
Our friend...
He wants a double X. I'll bring it to the Palomino Club, the world famous Palomino Club.
And he's going to wear it.
He will.
Our friend The Axe is wearing his shirt in Mexico this week.
Wicked.
Thank you. I have the picture for, you mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
The B-She-zer, well, the dad of the B-She-zer.
Yes.
Got a picture with you. It got sent to me. I was like.
Hours after we went live.
I know.
We had the picture in our inbox.
Like, is there a chance Mecca could work me on this and say that some guy in Mexico got a picture with him? Nope. It happened. We got
legit.
The picture. And that picture will be posted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or X.
Oh,
I have not updated.
You just called it X. I can't believe you even caught
because
to that.
Because now Twitter's so old, people don't even realize it.
Do you still have the
Twitter,
bird?
I do have the bird.
He won't update his phone.
No.
Does it automatically update? There is no Twitter bird anymore.
That's no, his
whoa,
X.
Whoa. Top left. Or top,
oh, my God.
Yeah, he hasn't updated it. So you do not update
screenshot,
your app at all?
Screenshot. I'm putting this out there, too. I keep the bird. They're going to see that I have receipt
new
hog
shirt.
Zap. Cattle.
Make sure you blur out that Pornhub, though.
No, it's not on that screen.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, let's talk about something.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
This is purely speculative. I want to talk about AEW coming to Winnipeg May 1st, and who do I think, and I want to not use the word deserve, because everyone deserves it, but who do I
not
think?
Not everyone.
No, they
no,
don't.
No, okay, but there's a lot of guys I'm not going to mention,
okay.
So I don't want to use the word deserve.
Okay.
But who do I think will get a dark match?
Or who would you like to see?
Exactly. I believe Mentolo will get a dark match.
Should be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
I believe Danny Duggan, who I noticed is looking better since he came back.
I mentioned that to him this week.
Yeah,
he's leaned up a lot.
Leaned up, and he's obviously worked out a lot before his comeback. So I think he's probably going to get a dark match or be there. Unfortunately, Adam Knight probably will get a dark match. I don't know if it's deserved.
Do we see Wavell Starr getting another dark match?
He got called last year and thought it was
a rib.
Yeah, didn't take it as serious. Like he thought he was being set up, so he didn't take it.
What? A wrestler who's like
did Massive Damage get it? No, did Massive Damage get booked in Alberta? Levi Knight got booked in Winnipeg.
No, I think wasn't Massive in. He was in Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, but did he also get booked in Calgary or Edmonton later?
No.
Okay. So Donnie DiCaprio, Jason Geiger, I believe he'll get a dark match.
That's all he does is TVs.
Yeah. The guy's a big star. And I mean that not facetiously. He is actually very shrewdly not taking bookings and only doing TVs. It kind of makes it look like he's on the cusp. I would love to see three guys, and pick three guys.
Mark Merrick.
Three guys locally. No.
Malcolm Lovechild.
They don't quite make my list of the three. If it was seven or eight, they probably do.
Jesse Nash.
Okay. Mr. Positive here. Those guys have feelings too.
I'm just throwing out some names.
Okay. Three guys, pick them.
Okay.
Don't have to agree. Don't have to be the same, but you can have the same on your
list. Oh, we have to pick.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Three guys each. In Canada.
Okay. Yeah.
You go there.
You go Chris. All three.
Wavell Starr.
Okay.
Wild card, Kevy Chevy. Another wild card. This is the wildest of all cards. The Mecca Shane Madison.
Mm.
Interesting.
And I think this is going to happen. You'll deny it, but I think it's done. I think it's already done.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay. Why are you looking at me like that? You're pondering. Is that your pondering look?
No, we
could be headed to podcast divorce if you show up there and you don't tell me in advance.
That's exactly.
If Sean Brown and I don't know, I have a feeling Sean Brown might pull your pool invites.
Oh,
if we have to find out by sitting in the crowd. And
who's going
to
bring the beer?
That's true.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good list. You said Kevin Chevy's
the wild card.
Wavell Starr.
Wavell Starr and the wildest card of all, the Mecca Shane Madison, which might be your new name. The wildest card of all.
Wildest card. I have a lot of monikers.
Do you want to go next or do you want me to go?
Could I have cards in your tights?
Man, who could? Jeez.
And this can be Canada-wide. It doesn't just have to be Winnipeg.
I wasn't prepared for that.
No, I decided curveball.
Okay. I will go. Ooh.
Now, bear in mind that I mentioned a bunch of guys that I already think. I'm going outside of those guys I just mentioned.
Okay, so here's some guys I would like to see. I would like to see Josh Holliday.
Great choice.
Cheeks. I'd like to see him. He's been working hard.
Connecting with his audiences like crazy.
Yep. I would like to see the Miracle, Jackson Conway.
That's a good one.
Very good.
I just was taking a look at some of his stuff, and he was away from the business for a long time. Looks like $1 million.
See his new gear he's wearing?
What a comeback.
And the guy gets in the ring. He's like, he hasn't missed a beat.
Competing with you for comeback of the year, so stop putting him over.
He's my cousin. Do you know that?
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Are you tight? Or is it like Vance and I?
No, we are related.
But are you tight?
Well, we talk all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you think he's back wrestling?
Why aren't you teaming with him? Vance and I once talked about
teaming. There we go.
Vance and I once talked about teaming together.
Stay tuned.
Maybe you and your cousin can take on me and my cousin, Vance.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Who would love to see Vance Nevada and Mike Davidson team up? We both look old.
Hyperactive Mike Myers.
Against Shane Madison and Jackson Conway, two sets of cousins.
I mean, in theory, it sounds good. I don't know if I'd want to be there.
I take that as an insult.
we're all in a mood today.
So I need a third.
Great choices, by the way.
You know what? I'll go James Roth.
Great choice.
Just because I really like James Roth. I enjoy James Roth.
Love that.
That's
guy.
A good one. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a solid guy.
Sam Roth.
There's so before I started, I took some guys off the list. Danny Duggan, Mentolo, Jason Geiger. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if they already know. So I'm gonna go without those three.
Because the extras have been booked a long time ago.
Okay. So I think Sammy Peppers and his partner, but Sammy Peppers definitely, Bryce Bentley also deserves it, but Sammy, Sammy's got good size, great charisma.
One thing I want to mention about Sammy Peppers, and I did not mention this several episodes ago, and I wanted to mention it, is that he has really developed into a polished performer.
Yeah.
There are so many little nuancy positioning things that he does in the ring, so many little minor details. I meant to mention it to him after the last Rookies show for CWE. He is taking his game to another level. So that is a great choice, Sammy Peppers.
And he's a heavyweight, and I like that. I think Chad Daniels chases every opportunity, goes after it hard, works very good as a babyface, and I have a preference, but I'm not going to say my preference. But Chad Daniels, he deserves a solid look, so I have him at my number two. I know you can't put him over, but too bad. I believe you deserve a dark match too, but there you go,
Chad Daniels. I already took it, yeah.
And I'm going to say this. I never understood until the documentary came out why Massive Damage was on a dark match last year, but it tied together as part of the story for that doc.
Why was it again? I don't remember.
Because it was the producer. So Chris Jericho became the executive producer. Mm-hmm. And so they would get footage of him on the Northern Death Tour and then come full circle and get his break, his shot. Okay. It's part of the story that's told in this documentary, I've been told.
Okay.
But I would say this. If AJ Sanchez can end up, or sorry, there you go. If Massive Damage can get a dark match, AJ Sanchez definitely deserves a dark match.
Yep, I would agree.
And I think it's time at this stage of his career, he has done so many things right. As a WFX Tag Team Champion, before that he became a very, very valued local talent for PCW and CWE. He was a founding member of that company. Then he went to Mexico tryout to go to Mexico with Conan. He's then become the steward of developing the new talent in Winnipeg with his training with Kevin Cannon and Tyler Colton.
Another class coming up real soon.
Yeah.
WrestleMania weekend.
So I would say this, it's time for AJ Sanchez to get a shot. Cause if people have never studied his work and they see him, they don't know what they're expecting. Then they see his work and they're absolutely impressed, floored, and satisfied by how he works. So I would say AJ Sanchez is my number three of a guy who deserves it. And I'll say this, if Adam Knight deserves a spot on a dark match, AJ Sanchez by a long shot deserves
sure.
it. And that's no, people think I've got a personal grudge against Adam Knight. It's no slight on Adam Knight. It is just, that's just the way I believe. So those would be my three.
How about Jay Rockne? Got a great story about Jay Rockne.
Well, I wonder who's going to wrestle Loot, right? Loot Academy.
Yeah.
Right? Wrestle Academy, Loot Academy. I've looked at that and look at the guys who are signed for that. You've got AJ Sanchez, Mentolo. You've got Sebastian Wolf, Vance Devada.
Kat Von Hees, Bobby Sharp.
Bobby Sharp. Who am I missing?
Cheese D's.
Chad Daniels, who's been there twice before. This is going to be
failed every time. This will be the third time that he'll fail.
You just have to mention the guy's failed once or twice, hey?
It would be a glaring omission if we didn't.
So
falls on his face all the time.
I have never seen that.
Every time.
Okay. May 3rd, he's going to do it again.
I've never seen their product before, but it's pretty good, right? The people they put together are really, really good. I love the concept of taking the best of the best in Canada and putting them in a competition together. I think it's kind of united in a sense. And I think that Jacques Rougeau is the perfect guy to judge the talent for that. So you should check out Loot Academy, Wrestle Loot, Jacques Rougeau.
That's coming in September, I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of good promos online. Yeah,
started releasing matches. Danny Duggan's booked for that as well.
And all those people you mentioned would all be candidates for a dark match as well.
Yeah, that's why sort of relative if you think about it.
But it's nice to see that people that are from kind of around here, people we're familiar with here in our market, are getting that opportunity out in Montreal. It's pretty cool.
Yep. Fight at the Museum 2 coming up on April 28th. They just did their two-night show at West End Cultural Center.
Did we ever find out what happened with Silesia and... Steph DeLander was a visa issue or something?
And that's... For fans of women wrestling, that's going to suck, right? But at the same time, Judas Icarus versus AJ Sanchez in the first round of that tournament,
yeah,
a two-night tournament, 16-man, I haven't seen it like that before locally. Voyager Cup, I'm sure it was a big success for Winnipeg Pro Wrestling. I believe they're going to get a record-setting sellout for a fight at the museum on April 28th.
And you know what? Despite the fact that if somebody's not at a show, I mean, they figure it out. And just because maybe somebody wasn't at the show, you're still going to see one hell of a show with WPW.
Absolutely. Danny Duggan, CWE, announced that Jimmy Jacobs is coming back through for 5 dates in Ontario coming up. What a great get that is. Jimmy Jacobs is currently in All Elite Wrestling as a producer. Mm-hmm. So you talk about dark matches for All Elite. This is a great opportunity for guys because Jimmy's coming through in, I think it's March. He's coming through in March.
Just before their TV.
So yeah, there might be chance for him to help massage people who haven't quite gotten on the radar yet. It's great for CWE. It's, you know, great for the fans in Ontario in those 5 markets.
So they'll see Savio Vega and Jimmy Jacobs in those 5 markets that they announced.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Jimmy is the nicest guy, one of the nicest guys I ever met.
Undefeated CWE champion. You know,
I agree.
Yeah.
He's never lost the title.
I've never seen Savio live. Have either of you? Besides like maybe WWE? Yeah.
I definitely saw him in WWE.
I've seen him in WWE. I don't think I've ever seen him live though outside of WWE.
No.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Savio bring back Miguel Perez and do Los Barricos for the CWE. Two of us would love to see that.
I just want that theme song, you know?
Didn't you want Invader to come?
Well, that would be a tough one. Jose Gonzalez is the man who stabbed Bruiser Brody in the locker room. And, you know, I have learned in wrestling, some guys can't be canceled. Maybe Jose Gonzalez coming to Canada is unlikely. Mm-hmm. I would like to think that isn't too likely. Primos has March 21st coming up with,
that's in the event center.
That is called it's in the Fast Times at Primos High.
That's in Broken Head or
no, it's in Winnipeg. Well, I don't know if they're doing Broken Head, but they're doing Winnipeg and they're doing Toulon for sure. Did they add Broken Head?
Yeah, there's one on March 21st, I think. I'd have to go
March
back
21st, I believe, is Winnipeg, if I'm not mistaken. But I did see somewhere that it's going to be Bobby Schenk against Billy Blaze for the 204 championship. Interesting matchup. Bobby Schenk is extremely popular. Great get by Primos.
James Corba's favorite wrestler.
Yes. Well, no. But yes. But no. the thing with what Primos is... So they had an announcement on Friday, but I didn't get to it yet. So hopefully it's something good.
Rebooked for Thompson. They've been invited back to Thompson after the fantastic sellout they had.
Well, okay. So
when is that date going
to
be?
So the venue was full. So let me specify this to clarify for Primos. No offense here.
June 21st. So okay. The new date.
Great in the summer. So you can't call it a sellout because the tickets were free, but you still got 400 people to come. So it's a great success. But say word sellout means you're sold.
If it's a bot show too, I mean, but what
it's a full
good for them. Yeah, good
it's
for them.
Great. Actually, it's not even great for Primos. It's actually great for the community of Thompson. Mm-hmm. You think about that underserviced town that has so many young people and they need something constructive and productive to do on a Friday night or a Saturday night. Send Primos up there. Go entertain them.
That's
maybe your outreach to a few of them. I think it's great. It's a positive. Can I say anything negative today?
Well, we should find out. Where are we at this week?
What percentage are you running? Where are we at?
We're episode 98.
Let's handicap it again. Okay, I'm saying
last week was 95.
Yeah, I'm saying he's fallen this week to 75%.
I will say he's standing pat at 95.
95. Okay.
I would say standing pat at 95 and the hold up.
Okay.
The hold up isn't anything I can control. Mm. If you know, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
When you look at calendar and you say, that's not even a perfect date. That's the only date that will work. And you're looking around that calendar going, oof.
It's pretty busy.
Yes. Oh, by the way, you know what I wanted to mention? Good.
What?
It's positive too. Oh, tacos God. And tequila are bringing authentic, or hopefully authentic, Lucha Libre wrestling to Winnipeg.
That's the claim. Yeah,
Blue Cross Field.
That's going to be
with Lil Jon and Chingy. And
so it's something
awesome.
That's touring.
Yeah, I'm going to that.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
It's a touring act. So
really, Oh, so it might be.
It's not going to be local. No. Put on masks.
So Pepito's not going to be there.
If he is, I think it might be as a fan. Now I will tell you this:
their anchor events in Kansas.
Because I'm very close, or may have already done this. I may have bought a ring, or I may be.
Oh.
We don't know yet.
Okay.
So you bought a ring.
So I contacted the producers, and I said, listen, you have this date in Winnipeg. You know, if you need anything, if you need a ring. And they said, we already have an exclusive provider. And that's how I kind of knew, okay, this isn't like they're just going to get locals to fill a show.
That's interesting.
So I'm excited about this. It's a Saturday or a Friday night in June or July.
July 28th or something like that. Yeah. At the ballpark.
Producer Chris is all over this. Like, I think he bought tickets.
I bought it the day that it was announced.
They're on sale already? No,
yeah, oh yeah.
So, oh, really? And so I love
it. How much were tickets? Were they expensive?
No, not at all.
Really? Not like producer
Chris opened the wallet. You know it's a good deal.
I won't be paying for the tickets, but I will be there. I will tell you that.
Yes. I was thinking about getting, because I'm not sure how they're going to set it up. I was like, oh, maybe
Saturday, July 27th.
So we could go to the pool, find out what time the Lucha Libre is, have a few popskis, Uber on down to downtown Winnipeg.
Wait, I just thought of a problem.
Is that there
There might be a problem.
Ah, love it.
Is that the long weekend?
No. Oh, no.
July 28th is the Saturday, July 29th. Oh, yeah. July 20th. No. No, it'll be the next weekend because it's the first Monday in August.
So July?
Wait a minute, check that out. Is that the long weekend?
Shit, July long weekend is at the start of July. No,
August long weekend.
Is that August long? Oh, yeah,
No.
It could be.
I guess it wouldn't be August long weekend in July.
It's July.
29th is
July long weekend. Hold on. July long weekend is Canada Day. That's the first of them.
No, it's the weekend after.
Okay, so we can't have August long weekend in July.
Exactly. What the hell is going on right now?
We're
going
to go to break, and producer Chris is going to say, stop springing she's on me without any kind of Iggy. Okay, so we are going to go to, if it's not the long weekend, we're going to Lucha Libre, but we're going to the pool first because we got to get some color.
Yeah, I want to wear a mask too. I have some masks you can wear.
Oh, shit. I got one, too.
Hey,
I
have, like, 12 of them.
Do you?
12, like, authentic Mexican masks. You can be Psicosis.
Psicosis.
Yeah, that's what you look like.
C's keys?
You have the good hair and the horns.
Psicosis?
Jabrosis.
That's really nice. I don't have anything that nice.
Oh, speaking of Psicosis, he might actually be on the show, but also saved Danny Duggan's life. Don't forget
he did.
That.
I remember that.
So it would be an honor to wear
a car in the lake.
It would be an honor to be Psicosis for a night and save Danny Duggan's life.
I'll wear my mask, superstar mask.
Okay.
He's not a lucha.
Not at all.
I'm going to wear
blue. You kind of look like Bill Heedy.
I know.
Blue Panther is what I'll go as Blue Panther.
What are we at for time?
We're at 22 minutes.
Do I want to stretch this out a little bit longer?
We can easily do it because I want to circle back onto that ring situation.
Okay, let's talk about the ring.
You may have bought a ring.
Well, if you're going to run a wrestling show at 95%, don't you need a wrestling ring?
You do.
Sounds like it's a done deal.
It might be.
Yeah.
But you know, I do want to say something though.
Oh,
I do want to say something because last week.
Positive?
Yeah, I would say positive.
Okay, say it then.
I would say this. Every week when we do the show, you know, we do the show and people.
You say things that get us heat.
Well, yeah, sometimes I guess, right? Listen, this show is not for everybody, right? There are people that really like the show. We have a lot of loyal listeners, and for them, we thank them for listening. But we have some people that don't like the show. Sometimes they're in the business, right? They think maybe,
typically, yes, it's people in the business.
Yeah. They think we maybe pull the curtain back a little too much, and they might be right. We might need to do a better job of not doing so much of that. But last week, I didn't go back and listen to the episode because I know that there were some people that we kind of ruffled some feathers a little bit, right?
To a degree.
Right. We had some meetings this week, and we had some meetings with.
We weren't supposed to talk about the meetings.
Well, no, but I'm not going to go into any details.
Yes.
What I'm going to say is we met with some people that we hold in very high regard.
It was good to hear their.
Yes.
Their feedback.
Yes. And
I took it to heart.
And all that I will say about it is that they had some. We were perceiving there to be pushback against you potentially running a show or whatever it would be. Now, for me, I'm one of the boys. I want good matches, good shows, you know, good promotions.
Good opportunities,
right? That's all that we want, basically. But there were some people who we thought had some perceived pushback. When we actually sat down and talked to some of these people, I didn't understand their viewpoint. I totally missed it. And it's not because I didn't care about their viewpoints. I wasn't on that wavelength. So I didn't understand what some of the potential concerns would be. When they explained their concerns to us, it made a lot of sense. And I'm like, I never thought about that, right? So I know I left that meeting with these three people and they know who they are. And, you know, we all hold them in very high regard. I left that meeting feeling very good about things. So what I'm here to say is, because some people were upset, and specifically upset at me, because I am kind of stuck in the middle on a lot of this stuff.
And I hate you being in the middle.
Right? So it's a tough spot for me, but I do want to, part of doing the show, we're doing a show every week. It's an hour and a little bit. We're trying to be funny. We're trying to be characters. We're trying to be serious. We're trying to...
And we're also trying to be honest with the listener.
Absolutely.
Which
absolutely.
Is tricky when you're talking wrestling.
Sometimes we walk a fine line. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some things that maybe I said that, or we might have said that were not offensive, but they took
umbrage with it.
Yeah. Which, so for that, I want to issue an apology to those people specifically.
And a good podcast host right now would say nothing and let us go to break, but I have more to say.
Okay.
I would like to apologize for nothing.
First and foremost,
go ahead.
Here's the thing with this podcast, because I had to answer it to them. And I have nothing but high level of respect, to the point if I'm going to a meeting to discuss what I do or what I might do, mm-hmm. that means I have an incredible amount of respect that I feel the need to have that conversation mm-hmm. with you. Because let me be very honest, if I choose to invest in my, if I choose to take my money and invest in running a wrestling show, I don't have to answer to anybody. And 100%. They know that just as much as I know that.
Yeah.
But they took the time to speak to me openly. And one of the things that they finally, they said, hey, the podcast, what is the point? Why are you doing it? Da, 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 da. Here's the thing. If you look at the best podcasts every week that cover wrestling, take Eric Bischoff, Strictly Business, mm-hmm. take Jim Cornette, take whatever it is. They want to be entertaining. They're giving critical analysis. They're offering positive feedback. They're offering critical, in some cases, it's an outright job out of guys, and it's done to entertain people. If there are fans that go to shows and buy tickets and then listen to our podcast, great. If there are people who've never been to a ticket or never been to a show, never bought a ticket, but listen to our podcast, great.
And now buy a ticket.
Yes.
And we know that happens.
So what we do here, and I've tried to explain it, and it's a positive. It is sports talk for pro wrestling in Canada, mostly Winnipeg, but in Canada, we say the most of the positive things we can see. And sometimes we have to say a negative. And when we have to say a negative, we you and I discuss it before we mm-hmm. ever go there. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, but here's the thing. We're being honest. And if we're being too honest, I don't know any other way to do it. But what we do, all three of us, is we go on the record every week. When you put that podcast live on Sunday nights at midnight for Monday morning, everything that's said, we have to answer for it. And sometimes it's painful to answer for it. But we're on the record. And you know what that means? We're not working the people. We're not lying. We're being completely forthright. And sometimes we have to account for it. And if I have to account for it, I will. I don't intentionally offend anybody.
Yeah.
And the one guy that people will say, well, what about Adam Knight? The thing about Adam Knight, you might hear me say he should never have slapped a fan. He shouldn't have. But Adam Knight, from the amount I've talked about him, there are people that have wanted to see his next match. And that is a net positive. Whether you like that or not, it's a net positive. They may go in there thinking, well, we're going to see Adam Knight tonight, but they go and they pay attention to Adam Knight. So call that a justification, but it's also an explanation. So I love it that the listeners are, I watch the numbers as they come in and I see the spike Monday yep. morning. Those are the people that we're doing this for. So thank you. It's going to continue. 2 more weeks to 100.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
What would we possibly talk about on number 100? Maybe 100% will happen on 100.
You guys are so nice and positive today.
This episode of Bee She's Wrestling is powered by First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store, where you'll find the coolest sports cards, autographs from your favorites, and of course, wrestling collectibles galore. As a loyal Bee's She's Wrestling listener, you can get a discount on your purchase using the code Bee's She's. That code is BEEZSHEEZ, one word, to get 10% off. Visit the store online, firstrow.ca, or instead of click and order, go brick and mortar. Meet the guys at First Row in person, 1835 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store.
This is the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant. And you are listening to the Bees She's Wrestling.
Do you know there's a trick when you have a problem with your cell phone provider, you threaten to call the CRTC and they, no, I don't think I've got data.
Uh-oh.
And they promise you that they promise you they'll fix it. Now people are going to be like, well, if you paid your bill, this wouldn't have happened. But the problem is it's not even the past due date on that bill was 9 days ago. And it's under, like, I don't even owe them $200. I owe them $109.
And they turned it off.
They've turned off. They've suspended my data.
I've accidentally not paid a cell phone
for 90 days.
No, for like, well, not 90, but like a month.
Yeah.
And then I still have data. And
exactly.
Then they just double the payment the next.
Yeah. They tell you you owe like $295. And if you keep not paying then they start calling and they say, we're turning you off. They didn't call. They just turned off my data.
How mad are you right now?
Piping hot. I have already threatened to involve the CRTC.
And what happens when you call the cell phone provider and you threaten that?
Immediately they put you on with senior management who promises you they've turned the data back on, but my data isn't back on.
Are you going to call them right now?
Oh, after this.
Should we call them right now?
Call them on the air?
It would take too long because they left me on hold for an hour earlier.
You can connect to the board if you want.
Adam West would be really hot if we were on hold for 45. We were just shooting the she's while you're on hold.
Yeah.
The podcast would be 4 hours. It'd be like a Jim Cornette podcast. All right.
Let's talk about the Hall of Fame.
WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Paul Heyman.
Couldn't have been a better choice.
In Philadelphia.
Yes.
Well, but you think about it, though. He's a heel.
Who inducts him?
That's a good one.
Because it can't be Brock.
No.
Or it could be Brock, but it shouldn't be Brock.
You know who inducts him? CM Punk.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Gets him on the show.
Yeah, he's the original Paul Heyman guy. Yeah.
Not a Tommy Dreamer or anyone like that?
Nope.
No.
Interesting. Bull Nakano also
love
inducted.
That.
I would expect Medusa to, or Londra Blaze to induct her because they had the program against each other over the WWF women's title.
And in WCW.
Yes.
Bull Nakano.
Who else 96. Do we see going in? I've heard Lex Luger's name an awful lot.
Well, he was at AEW Revolution.
Told to stay off camera and he did.
But why did Kevin Nash, why was Kevin Nash not allowed to go?
He was allowed to go. He's in. You know how I feel about Kevin Nash. I think he's a knob. But
Kevin Nash.
He said,
smart guy.
He said, I can't go because I'm a WWE guy. And then people called him out saying, you don't have a contract. He's like, well, no, I don't have a contract. But, you know, I'm a WWE guy deep down to my bones. And my best friend is Paul Levesque. And it's like, he's not going to give a shit if you show up at AEW.
He also wasn't tight with Sting.
Who, Kevin Nash?
Not that tight.
Sure
not,
was.
Not Lex Luger.
Well, not like Lex Luger.
Not that tight, but still pretty tight.
Was Nikita Koloff really tight with Sting?
Was he there?
He was there.
But he also
Scotty Riggs?
But he also lives in the Carolinas.
Was Scotty Riggs really tight?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. The American Males, one of the most underrated tag teams of all time.
Sing the song.
I don't know the song. You sing it.
American Males. American males.
Do you know how good that tag?
American males.
Do you know how good that tag team
Mantilla
was?
Mantilla will pop for that.
That song was good. Do you know how good that tag team was?
They were great in 95.
They were fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then he turned heel.
Great suspenders.
But they had to turn Buff heel because he was a perfect heel character.
Dark Side of the Ring. Buff Bagwell this week.
Did anyone see John Tenta?
I haven't. I'm a week behind. I've got it ready to go, though. I really want
to
watch it.
Yeah, I need to watch it, too. I haven't watched it. I still haven't finished Monday Night Raw yet.
Yeah.
I've been in Toronto all week.
I have a challenge when it comes to Dark Side after a certain point. Like, I will watch all those episodes, but it's like I'm not. I remember this first season. I was excited for every episode. And it's like any show. When you get into season 4 or 5 or 6, it's harder to get as excited. Mm-hmm. And we're on Earthquake. Like, okay, he got cancer and died. Like, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But, like, he died very young of cancer.
Right. There isn't anything morbid with his story, basically.
Other than he was a really talented big man.
Yeah.
And his work in WWE, like, he really should have main evented Mania.
Yeah.
And didn't. And he actually, I swear this, if they do Hulk Hogan, Rick Rude at SummerSlam 90, or when Warrior won the title, Was that 90 or 91?
1990.
Okay, if they do Hulk Hogan, Rick Rude, and they do Earthquake against the Warrior, it is a completely different title reign for the Ultimate Warrior. And I'll tell you why. Because Warrior had already lost to Rude and beat Rude in pay-per-view matches
the year before
over the Intercontinental. So now we're going back to that. It was a retread at SummerSlam for Rude with Heenan against Warrior for the world title. Earthquake could have got
quit after that too.
Yes. Earthquake could have got sympathy on Warrior. Warrior could have done power moves to Earthquake. Maybe I doubt he could have done the gorilla.
No.
He would have splashed him. That would have been a better story. And Hogan Rude, which never happened, would have been a really good story for Hogan, who was part-time at that SummerSlam. Remember, they did the Earthquake injury and then you had to write in to keep Hogan there. I just think they could have done more if they'd gone Earthquake, Warrior, and if they'd done Rude versus Hulk Hogan.
That's interesting. But I think at the time, Rude, like that would have been quite a size discrepancy between Hogan and Rude. I don't think Hogan would have gone for that.
But I think Rude would have been taller than Hogan.
Rude might have stayed there if he had that program with Hogan.
And I think you can do things to, even though Hogan outsizes him, he maybe didn't outsize Henning by that much. The thing with Rude was he was extremely lean, and I don't think Rude was more than 210 pounds.
You know what I didn't like about Earthquake during that time, though? I remember all that. I remember SummerSlam 90 when he headlined that pay-per-view, but he just looked like a normal guy to me. Like, he just looked like a normal big guy. And that was, I remember thinking when I was like when I was a kid, like, Bundy looked like a star. Yeah. Andre looked like a star.
I think Earthquake looked like just as much star as Bundy.
I disagree. I think he looked like your jolly neighbor.
Didn't help
next door.
That he had a horseshoe skullet. That's a tough look to pull off.
Yeah. So
and he had a beard and he had no tan. Yeah. Listen, I don't mean to talk ill of the man, but like we're talking about why against Hulk Hogan he looked, but. And then,
I'm getting back to your point of him main eventing WrestleMania. I don't see that.
No? Okay. No. But if he works Warrior at SummerSlam, it's a different dynamic.
That is interesting.
Also, the problem is he was also packaged with Dino Bravo.
Right.
And he had Jimmy Hart instead of Bobby Heenan, which is always secondary, right? It's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. Earthquake in WCW was not very good.
Avalanche.
Shark
Attack!
Then Shark. Then he was.
That was so stupid.
Then he was just John Tenta. Then he was Golga.
Yeah.
Golga. I know. I didn't see the dark side. I'm sure it was great.
Geez.
But like.
Geez.
I was like, when I saw he was the season premiere and I was like, he's never been in trouble with the law. I guess I got to go back and watch it. People are going to tell me on social media that I'm such an idiot for not knowing what the dark side was.
I'm super interested and I liked him a lot as a worker and sort of. Kind of to your point, I saw him as more of a main eventer myself. I can understand how you wouldn't see him because he didn't have that extra thing. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. He didn't have that extra thing, but I thought once he was in the ring, he could put guys in such danger, for lack of a better term, that I thought it got over.
Yeah, babyface was in peril.
Yeah, peril. That's what I was looking for. Earthquake. Exactly, yeah, always in peril.
Sure. Sorry to venture back to WWE. I have a prediction.
Oh.
Okay. And I wonder which one I'm right on because I'm going to give you both.
Okay.
Cody's going to Mania. He's going to beat Roman. Is it going to be The Rock as the top heel coming out of that, or is it going to be Seth Rollins?
Ooh.
As Seth Rollins is a heel?
I think Seth could easily turn on Cody in the night after WrestleMania.
Like night one, you mean?
No, I think the tag match. Cody wins the title, and the night after WrestleMania,
Raw.
Seth Rollins is the guy that comes out.
But isn't... Now, Seth Rollins, they said he's got a clean bill of health now. So he won't be taking any time off after WrestleMania. I don't know. I think he's swimming uphill with that one because the crowd's into the singing and all that.
So where do you see Cody go after Mania? Assuming he's going to be the next heavyweight or the next WWE champion.
I think something's going to happen night one where The Rock, like Roman, like and The Rock have a problem. At the end of
and
that.
Rock turns babyface?
I think Rock leaves night two as a babyface.
That means
not costing Roman the title.
That means
leaves the babyface.
That means Cody leaves WrestleMania champion. You don't see Seth Rollins. You don't see The Rock. Who does Cody match up with coming out of Mania?
Damian Priest.
Or Gunther?
Gunther's a good one. I could see Damian Priest cashing in the money in the bank.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's what I see happening.
But they've also teased him.
To me,
and Gunther.
To me, that's a pretty big. That's a pretty big letdown. I think
Damian Priest.
I think
very high on him.
Yeah, sure. But I think with well, there's always the reset the night after WrestleMania.
Yep.
But if you want to keep momentum going, Rock or Seth against Cody in the program coming out of Mania is
But then Seth has to lose the World Heavyweight Championship because Cody will be the WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion, unless they want to unify those titles. So who knows?
Then the other thing is, how much money is there in Cody versus Rock at SummerSlam? Or do you slow burn that all the way to the next Mania?
But I think Rock's going to be a babyface after. I think ultimately Rock needs to leave this run as a babyface. I don't think he leaves this run as a heel.
I think he needs to stay heel longer.
I don't think
it's been long enough.
But he's not going to stick around, though. He's 51 years old.
He did an amazing job setting up. Well, Cody was already over, but the Cody crybabies thing has gotten so over. Mm-hmm. And he did that 21-minute promo on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rock,
I didn't watch it.
Rock
but I heard
is
about
doing
it.
More for Cody going into Mania than Roman or Paul Heyman are by far. Mm-hmm. By far.
Well, look at that. Look,
and
at,
if you're going to
selling out everywhere,
yes, but. That's how hot the
I know
when you it's hear crazy. About all these indies drawing way more than they're used to. It isn't AEW that's driving it. And I love the indie promoters and pat yourselves on the back. You're doing a great job, but you are benefiting from WWE igniting a passion in the fan base that is leading to your live events.
Yep.
It is a big part of this, but I'm telling you, coming out of Mania, if they don't see money in in Rock and Cody, you've built it up. You've got it red hot. You got to go with it. You really do. Because, you can still turn Rock babyface at the end of that. But you, and the big one is, where is Gorwitz going to take it? Because he's the one writing the Rock stuff.
Then Rock's going to stick around. I just don't see the Rock sticking around.
See, I do, because he's on the board of directors now.
But as a talent, though, like, you're going to have him show up, like, until SummerSlam?
Do you know
that's like 5 months.
Do you know why I do that's see it, though? Is because I think his movie career isn't as hot as it was 3 years or 4 years ago, right? I just don't think he is, like, how many more Fast and Furiouses can this guy?
What? They're going faster?
Yeah.
How? Like,
26?
They're getting, he's really, like, unless he's going to run for president.
It's going to happen one day.
That will happen one day. But
if the Democrats were smart, they would run him against Trump in 2024. Because if Joe, and sorry to talk politics, but I, as a Canadian, I don't get a vote, but I couldn't imagine voting for an 80-something-year-old president that clearly isn't fully like.
Well, Trump's only 5 years younger.
I'm not saying either one's better.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's just not a great. It's like
asking if you want a broken arm or a broken leg.
Yeah, you're both either kind of. I was going to say you're either voting for the mule or voting for the mule shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's move along to AEW.
Not like we're any better here with our situation.
Not at all.
Okada is now All Elite.
Takati.
Yes.
Takati Light.
Okada.
He's with the Young Bucks. He's in the Elite now.
Yes. And Will Ospreay has debuted and really looked great.
That match with Konosuke Takeshita at Revolution was out.
Show stealer.
Standing. That match and the Sting match, which we'll talk about, but Will Ospreay is another level.
Could this be the beginning of momentum for All Elite?
I like to think that, because I think Will Ospreay, they have something. They did something that match with Okada, Kyle Fletcher on Dynamite.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, that guy's got something.
At the risk of pissing people off, should Samoa Joe not have dropped the title at the pay-per-view?
I would agree.
It was kind of, he's had it for 2 months.
But I like what they did there.
Keep it on him?
No, but they had Hangman tap out, and basically, and I knew exactly what they were doing when he did it. The story they were telling is he tapped out because he didn't want Strickland to win it.
Yeah.
That's what the story
was.
So
then Hangman and Strickland keep going?
Yeah, as a real, like, he really feased him.
Where does Joe go now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. The new pay-per-view, Dynasty, April 21st, I believe, coming up.
Are you still willing to bet against Kenny Omega wrestling in Winnipeg on May 1st?
I hope he does.
I think it's closer than...
I hope so.
Yeah, he's a big part of their advertising.
All I know
right now.
Diverticulitis is pretty severe.
I work with a guy who's in his 70s who has diverticulitis, and he could wrestle a 5-star match against you tomorrow.
Really?
His name is Al, and we call him Uncle Al.
What's he doing in April?
I could almost do an imitation of Uncle Al.
Uncle Al?
My
is
friends,
he related to Pickle?
I work with Pickle. You know what? If we ever need a guest who knows nothing about wrestling, who is, this guy is a wrestler. Pickle is, he is a character. He,
I can't believe we're talking about a guy named Pickle.
What's his lazy car name?
Peas.
D's, peas, cheese. Dylan Chambers. That's your shout out, Dylan. But anyway, so with where we're at with AEW, yes. Sorry to sidetrack with the Pickle.
Before we move off the pay-per-view too, there's something to note as well. The Dynasty title for the pay-per-view, also the name of a faction that contained MJF, Richard Holiday, and Alexander Hammerstone, who's being rumored to be going to.
He just signed wrestling. In TNA.
Did he?
Listen, Hammerstone signed.
Okay. Listen, more importantly, a faction with Mike Davidson, the Mecca Shane Madison, and who else was in the Dynasty?
Chi-Chi Cruz, turned on us, and yeah. Then it was
were
Rob
you
Stardom.
The Dynasty or Dynasty?
We were the Dynasty.
We were the Dynasty, okay. Man.
And it, you absolutely. Know who gave us the idea was Steve Stryker.
Steve,
so are you going to show
trees.
Steve Stryker makes so many hints about wanting to get back into wrestling.
He's
so,
angling.
Yes.
He's hoping that you start up.
Yes, he is. So what did you think of Sting's last match?
Steve.
All smoke and mirrors, exactly what it needed to be. Yes. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think anytime somebody who's been iconic since 1987, but even before that, retires, I guess it was 88 that he kind of became a big star, but he retires, it's like, okay, this is an amazing career that's coming to an end. In my opinion of Sting's legacy, he will never be The Undertaker. No. Let's be real. No. He will never be Hogan. He'll never be Flair.
No.
He'll be Sting.
Yep.
He's in some ways his legacy is better than Savage's.
But you know,
Randy Savage.
I was reading something interesting today about they were saying about Sting. Sting got the send off that most of those older guys don't get.
Right? Yes.
Like he got apparently Sting felt strongly that the Young Bucks should win. And they were he needs to win his last match.
Remember, Flair had to put over Michaels.
Everybody kind of has to, that's kind of how it goes, right? Yeah. The old guy.
That's the business.
Rides off out.
Well, because when you tell the story,
yeah.
Imagine the protagonist, because the guy who's retiring after 30 years is the protagonist of the story. The people have gone the whole distance and now they have to leave sad because it's a sad moment. Mm-hmm. You don't want a happy moment in that one. You can have a happy moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe that John Elway retiring as a Super Bowl champion is a great story.
That's how you wanted me to leave PCW, remember? Yeah, pushback there?
Well, because they didn't get it. You got to lose on your last match. And that's good if you want the crowd sad. But there's a happy ending.
Yeah.
There's two ways to do it. Happy ending John Elway or sad ending with the guy losing the last one.
But they're looking at PCW was looking at the lineage of the title, basically.
Does Sting stay involved?
No.
It's it.
That sounds like he doesn't. I mean,
appearances?
I think that would be more likely.
All right.
You know, come out for a Scorpion death drop every now and then. But you know what? Like, honestly, like, I thought the match was, that guy was taking, there was some crazy stuff. Darby Allin is an idiot. Like, that guy.
Yeah, the glass was.
That was ridiculous.
Cow.
That's
I
nonsense.
Was watching that.
They it was a stunt, though. Like,
but,
it was
but they
done
screwed
safely.
Up. Safely.
That's what I heard.
How?
Apparently, he rehearsed it during the day. Didn't I hear that? I heard that.
How would you rehearse that, Bob?
Why are you looking at me when you say, didn't I hear that?
Well, Sting accidentally broke one of the panes of glass with his bat. Well, not accidentally.
Apparently,
he meant to break it, but there was chairs and they had two panes of glass. The panes of glass are not going to slow down your momentum.
No, not at all. No, but didn't they have some sort of, I think they had a gimmick that he landed on specialized padding. I'm sorry to break the story.
Well,
to you,
maybe
I heard it was gimmicked and it was done safe and he actually rehearsed it during the day, I heard. Well, I read it.
It would have to be special padding.
So you also have to understand, like, that spot, I don't think anyone does that if it's not safe. Like, it's like when Canyon came off that cage, though.
Darby Allin throws himself off fucking ladders.
Remember when Mr. Perfect was going to rib that, the Chris Canyon was coming off the cage and Kurt Hennig was coming out for a match before and they had a spot in the ramp that was marked and he was going to walk through it just a rib on live TV. That's amazing.
But, you know, I thought that spot took a little bit away from that
match. And needless.
I thought it was needless. And, you know, it would have been safer. And maybe that padding was gimmicked. I hope it was. If it wasn't, they should have put the chairs, maybe put a table and then the glass on top.
Yeah.
Because that will break the fall.
Yeah, tables do slow it down.
But you're just going to go right through that glass. And his back was like, that was like horrifying.
Well, it looks like they used legit glass, right? So
and I the think guy's they climbing, glass. The guy's climbing Mount Everest next month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be 2 months off. He's insane. Crazy.
Yeah. Moving on.
Congratulations, Sting.
How good is TNA with Alex Hammerstone?
How good is he?
How good? What does he add to the equation?
I think he's a great acquisition.
Great get, yeah.
You know,
Moose is there as the champion. Yep. They've got Nick Nemeth. They've got
Ali.
Yeah, they've got some real. They've got some real guns.
Yeah. Have you talked to your friend?
Not about creative.
No.
Have you talked to yours? What's going on with creative?
Where at TNA?
Yeah.
I have. I'm not kind of out of touch right now.
If I'm
kind of like you, 14 yeah. years out of touch.
Yeah, if I'm to understand it, Tommy Dreamer is overseeing it with Gail Kim, but it's like a placeholder. It's interim. I believe Bully Ray makes the perfect choice. Still, I thought that last 2 weeks. I think that Anthony Chiacchone is not walking around a wrestling company trying to run a wrestling company. I think he's walking around a wrestling company realizing it's a broadcast property, which he knows a thing or two about. And I think he wants a wrestling guy to make it that much better.
Who do you bring in? I mean, you choose Bully Ray, but like who would you bring in if you just had to pull a name?
Scott DeMore?
That's exactly what I thought.
Honestly,
you can't do better than Scott DeMore, yeah. Can you?
I mean, I like Bully Ray.
Yeah, Bully Ray, I like that really a lot, smart, actually. Yeah.
He's smart. I like Gail Kim, too.
Yeah.
Yep. You like Gail Kim.
I think
Kim.
She has a place, and so does Tommy yep. after.
Eric Young would be another good one, you know? Like Bobby Roode, I know he's in WWE, but like Eric Young is like kind of like the Bobby Roode of TNA. He's kind of like in a producer role. He could fulfill that because he's a DeMore guy as well.
Isn't Mickie James in a producer role there?
I don't think she's under contract with them right now.
No? Okay. Isn't she in Ohio Valley doing stuff with, yeah, she's with Ohio Valley now.
She was.
I think she still is.
Is she still?
Well, she just went there not that long ago.
Okay.
Yeah. That might be where I'm thinking she's in a sort of office role. Yeah.
So I think Bully is the one that makes the most sense to me.
What's their next move, though, TNA?
There's talk that they're going to go live on Thursday nights. I think...
I heard late 24 or 25 at this point, but I think that's...
They're going to have to maintain a lot of momentum. Yeah. See, they are a big benefactor of a hot WWE feeding all of...
Yeah.
Give credit to where it's due. WWE is feeding a lot of wrestling business right now. I think they need to have a plan of who's going to guide them for the next year, or they will run out of momentum, run out of gas. And I think NWA's picked up a little bit of steam, and MLW might have some new steam. So
they got some money behind them.
Vince McMahon buys TNA.
Oh. Not a chance.
Vince McMahon just sold a ton of shares.
Yeah.
I think he's just retired.
What's he going to do with that money?
Probably pay for lawyers.
I don't know if he's going to pay for lawyers. I have a feeling he's going to say the settlement is this. Let's get it done, and let me move on with my life. I messed up. Like, he's done.
Oh, for sure he's done.
Yeah, like, there is no defense. Even if he legally can get a defense that gets him out of this, there's no defending some of that behavior.
It depends how vicious some of the people are who are accusing him. And vicious is the wrong word, but how strident they are for seeing justice.
Okay, I'll tell you this.
Because,
and nobody wants to hear about Vince anymore, but I believe Christy Hemme was a victim. Yeah. I believe that she was... coerced into doing something to get a I believe she was coerced into doing something to get a contract. She's an unnamed victim who got paid out later on. I believe that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that name comes up a lot when people say Vince McMahon victims.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I believe a lot of her friends don't like that Vince did this, and I don't think he will ever, ever get forgiven without that coming out, right? So it's done.
Yeah.
Like, there is no road back. And you know what the crappy thing is? Shane McMahon's legacy is tied into that. Stephanie McMahon might be able to stay around because her husband's Paul Levesque, but Shane McMahon will probably never.
You think so?
She's Shane? Getting a little stink on her now, too, because I was reading about
with the
fact that
Ashley Massaro thing?
Yeah.
That she talked to her after.
Yeah, and that she was aware of Vince's philandering.
Then it eventually gets on H.
Yeah.
Because there's no way he didn't know. Right? Like,
yeah, I don't think, I just don't
but
see.
But right now, H is the architect of one of the hottest periods in this company's history.
And like Steph is hanging back, rightfully so. So as long as she can hang back, it might not get on him.
Well, she doesn't need to the money.
She doesn't need the money. Right? She doesn't need anything.
Who I feel bad for is Shane's kids.
Yeah.
H's kids. Like, I feel bad for them.
Yeah, there's no, like they can't, they won't inherit the business.
Yeah, now. Well, like, their grandfather is, like, the butt end of all these jokes. Yes. Right? Like, they still have Vince McMahon Sr. on the open for WWE, but Vince Jr., he's gone. Like, I've seen videos where they're actually, like, distorting his face so that you can't see his face. They're actually doing that.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's getting the Chris Benoit treatment. Right now.
Well,
he deserves
and
it.
And I think there's a part of TKO that's worried there might be another bad story, right? Like, we know this story and it's real bad.
Yeah.
But, like, and I know. So, another name that came out recently was Rene Dupree said Jackie Gaeta. And I knew that in 2010. Mm-hmm. Her husband at the time, Charlie Haas, told me she got fired because he said Kevin Dunn. Watch me just drop names like recklessly. Kevin Dunn, Vince McMahon, Johnny Ace were running basically a casting couch, and girls were told to come to the or in the hotel, come up to the suite, and they were going to talk creative direction. And if girls didn't do it, there was no use for them. And Jackie didn't go with it; she was gone. And they actually fired her right around the time Charlie and her got married. That's how bad it got.
She was a hell of a talent too.
I don't like. Was she though?
I thought she was great in the ring.
She was easy on the eyes.
And she fit
well,
that.
And for that time period, she was perfect.
Well, she had one of the worst matches of all time Raw with JBL and Trish.
In that time, Trish was a very, very talented woman.
Yeah, she was
Gail
frustrated.
Kim was very good, but there was a drop-off. There wasn't that many girls that could run with them.
Yeah.
Lita could, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was like there was really three or four that Jacqueline.
Yeah, she wasn't upper tier, but no. I thought she was good for what she did.
Tori. Jazz, Ivory. Yeah. I mean, there were some.
Terry Power, she looked great, but she, you know.
And Ivory was underrated.
Yes, yeah. I would agree with
way
that.
Way underrated.
Yeah.
So you know what I want to do right now? I want to go to the mailbag.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Two questions in the mailbag this week. You know how to get them on. You can figure it out. You want to say? You always give me this look when I say.
Let's go to Facebook. You can send us a Facebook Messenger right to BG's Wrestling. You can go on.
A voice message would be best.
Instagram. Yes, you can leave us a note on Instagram at BG's Wrestling. You can go on Twitter or X as you call it. I call it Twitter.
Tweez.
You can send us a direct message on Twitter or you can email us at totalbg@gmail.com. And I personally will look at it, think of an answer so I sound smart, and then we'll answer it on the show. Voice clip is the best way to do it.
Exactly. And if you look at, traditionally, anybody who sends in a voice clip, if we have swag, if we have spiffs, they're the ones who get them. Okay, first question coming in from Desi.
Desi.
Desi says...
I know a Desi.
Jim Ross was just re-signed. How do you guys feel about this signing? Is it worth the money?
It is... I think Jim Ross has a place in All Elite Wrestling. I think he should do more narration of angle-related stories and background packages. So, like, if they did a three-minute package on, let's say, MJF comes back and he's figured in and he's going to be going into a feature match with, say, Will Ospreay, Jim Ross should be the narrator of that story and do sit-down interviews to build angles. He should not be doing live match broadcasting because they have people who are doing it better. Taz is very good right now.
Yep.
Tony Schiavone is still holding his weight. Kevin Kelly is there. Nigel McGuinness is there. Stick with what works. Don't put Jim Ross out to pasture, but give him a better assignment.
I love Nigel. I think Nigel's going to wrestle Bryan Danielson at Wembley.
Think so?
Yep.
Interesting. I would love that.
I think it's the long play. He's really on the clam digger. Brian Danielson every week. So, but yeah, Jim Ross, in my opinion, it's a waste of money. Honestly, yeah. I think I have all the respect in the world for Jim Ross, but there comes a time when you just can't do it anymore. He's like screwing stuff up on the air. He's forgetting things. He's calling Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan. Like it's time for him to go. And Mike, I think there is a spot for him like doing in that type of role, but he's got to be off camera.
Yeah, like if he's doing it, what Mike said is exactly how it should be done. Heard but not seen.
Yeah.
And if it's pre-recorded, they can fix up his flubs and stuff like that. And you get, the thumbprints of a legendary broadcaster on your show.
Yep. So one more year of Jim Ross.
All right, one more year it is. One second question coming in from Roger.
Roger's Wireless?
W asks, what is your favorite specialty match? We're talking casket match, Hell in a Cell, things like that.
Oh.
What's yours, Chris?
I'm going to have to go with the casket match. Just for a throwback, freaked me out as a kid. Matches were never really like amazing, but it was a good pageantry match for me.
Okay.
And they generally are.
I will have two. I will go with number one would be the ladder match.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
I like the ladder match. I didn't like it so much. I mean, it was a spectacle with the Dudleys and Edge and Christian and the Hardys. I mean, but I really like the Shawn
Razor Michaels. Razor Shawn, yeah. That's a style WrestleMania match 10. I liked.
That was good. The one before, in July of 92, Brett and Shawn at a house show. I think it was on the Smack'em Whack'em tape from Coliseum.
Smeez'em Weez'em.
From Coliseum Home Video. That was great. But the second one that I really enjoyed was from WCW, Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I thought it was a good concept.
Except it became a coal miner's glove match, well, which is
a dumb
in
concept.
In 92. Because
they did a legit, I think they did a legitimate spin, didn't they?
No, you could see there was like a magnet or something in there. But like, I just think like it, Jake puts the snake and he's like, is it biting me? And then he puts it back on. It was just kind of hokey. But, yeah. You know, the next year, Halloween Havoc 93, Vader and Cactus Jack had a hell of a match.
Yeah.
And then it went away for a little while, but they, you know, they brought it back and then WWE uses it. So that would be my two.
I think my favorite, believe it or not, is Falls Count Anywhere. Mm. And there's a reason for that, because if two people legitimately, I always think of what would make this a real fight. Two people are really in a fight and one guy retreats, the other guy's going to go after him if he hates him enough. And that's when Falls Count Anywhere tells a story. The one that I do like, but I've grown out of it, is cage matches. And it's because the way WWF did it, and it was during the Bruno and Sheik era that they decided you escape the cage, you win. That's not a way to win. You're a coward and you win, right? And then the babyface climbs over and the heel tries to go through the door. If it had been a finish in the cage, it would have been a great concept. And that's the way it was in the territories. But I think it needed to be a finish in the middle of the ring in the cage. It would be great, but not when you're climbing over to get out.
Falls Count Anywhere match, I will tell the listeners out there to go back and watch these two matches. Spring Stampede, WCW 1994, Cactus Jack and Max Payne against the Nasty Boys.
Great match.
The next month, Slamboree 94, Cactus Jack and Kevin Sullivan against the Nasty Boys.
What made them think they could do back-to-back?
I don't know. Go back and watch it. And even Paul Orndorff, Cactus Jack, from Super Brawl 3. Very good as well.
That's a great match.
Do you know who I thought about getting on this podcast recently?
Who?
Evad Sullivan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrote a book, and he's, yeah. I was thinking about getting Dave Sullivan.
D's?
To see what stories he could tell us about that WCW era where he was figured in as a babyface.
The Equalizer.
Yes, yes. All right, that's...
New D says you see the ring coming.
That is the mailbag this week. I want to know what's happening in the event center.
This is your Bee Gees Wrestling Event Center. We start in British Columbia, Friday, March 15th. 365 Pro Wrestling is in Campbell River. Friday, March 15th, Thrash Wrestling comes to Penticton. Saturday, March 16th, Big West Wrestling is in Enderby. Saturday, March 16th, Glam Slam comes to Vancouver. Saturday, March 16th, Slam Loops is in Kamloops. And Sunday, March 17th, Big West Wrestling is in Summerland. We move to Alberta. Saturday, March 16th, Real Canadian Wrestling is in Calgary. Saturday, March 16th, Can-Am Wrestling is in Calgary. And finally, in Manitoba, Sunday, March 17th, Primo's Wrestling comes to Broken Head First Nation. And that has been your Bee Gees Wrestling Event Center.
Thank you for putting together the Bee Gees Wrestling Event Center, Mecca. That was good. Get out to support your local independent wrestling events. They have been doing better than ever. And it's, like I said, all episode. Big thanks to their effort and a big thanks to how hot WWE is as a product.
Maybe there's room for one more event here.
Maybe.
Do we have an announcement?
Producer Chris, are you going to run or no?
No. I am only at 50% this week. But what are you? We just decided you're at 95.
I'm at zero.
So you're at zero? Okay.
I won't be running.
Aren't you my partner?
I did get some new Hoka shoes, so I will be running on a treadmill, but I won't be running any wrestling shows.
Excellent. A couple things I want to talk about is we're 2 weeks away from episode 100. We're asking you all to make an effort to listen to that episode. We want it to be a big, big deal. We'll have something special planned. I don't know what it's going to be.
We should ask the listeners, what's their favorite Bishi's wrestling moment?
Oh, it's got it.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
What
stands out to you guys as something you guys remember, or is it just every Monday being a part of what we do? To all of our listeners, to our friends, to our people who think we could do it better, thank you so much for taking the time to reach out. We appreciate you as much as you appreciate us.